Good evening, everyone. Such an honor to be here. I'm actually going to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you for this honor to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Father, that we just get to dig in deeper into your word, do life together, Father, to be refined, to just really walk as your sons and daughters. I just pray for an encounter with you, Lord. May my words be your words. I thank you for your peace, Father. I thank you for the freedom that's going to be in everyone in this room, everyone that watches this next week, and everyone watching online. We just praise you, Father, because you're so good. Let our lives reflect you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. My title for tonight is Pray Without Ceasing. When I was asked to speak about prayer, my first thought was, man, I need to pray about what I'm going to talk about. Because if I'm being honest, my perspective on prayer has changed so much over the last years and even months. To me, prayer is that constant communication with God. It's been one of the most important aspects of my relationship with Him. The Word tells us to pray without ceasing. I had to reflect what that even meant for me. See, I was born and raised in a Catholic church, and thanks to my mama, I always believed in God. Even though I believed in God, I never had that relationship with Jesus. When I started praying as a young teenager, I remember my prayers were almost petitions and needs. It's almost as I viewed God as someone who had to give me what I wanted because I was good. I would do good things and expect good things in return. I would even remember this scripture, "The Lord will give you the desires of your heart," not taking a close eye on the scriptures above and below. At the age of 16, I went to Pentecostal church for the first time. For any of you that have never been to a Pentecostal church, it might be the polar opposite of a Catholic church. People were shouting, raising their hands, running up and down the aisles, and shouting in strange languages I've never heard. Even with all of that, I wasn't sure why, but I felt something deep inside me that I'd never felt before. I felt this warmness and this unsteadiness. The pastor had an altar call. I had no idea what that was or what that meant. Apparently, it was if you've never given your life to Jesus, he invited us to come forward. I remember walking up there. I knew no one except for the person that invited me. I had no idea what to say or what to do. I think people were instructing me on what to do, and I literally just closed my eyes, and I had prayed more simply and honestly than I ever had in my life. I just closed my eyes, and I said, God, I want to know you more. I want to be close to you. I just repeated that same simple phrase over and over. Even though through the shouts around me and the really loud music, there was this beautiful stillness and quietness that I've never experienced. It's as if no one else was in the room but God and I. With my arms raised and my heart surrendered for the first time, these unknown words started coming out of my mouth. I later found out that was speaking in tongues. I didn't know what that meant and why it had happened, but after asking my brother, I learned that it was in the Bible and that it happened in the book of Acts. There are many times still today when I hear of awful news or tragedies where I don't even know what to say or pray, and I just begin to let my spirit talk to God. From what I've learned, it is our spirit talking to God. And if I let my physical body talk to God, then I will surely allow my spirit to do so too. I tell you this because part of my prayer journey has been learning that I will not understand everything in the Bible and why they even happen, and that's very okay. I constantly pray to God, God, I am willing. I am willing to look dumb. I am willing to look weird or do those uncomfortable things for you, whether it's stepping out in faith and praying for someone I don't even know or being vulnerable and putting out my weaknesses on social media. I am willing. Psalm 37 is a teaching psalm that talks about the advancement of the wicked and the disgrace of the righteous. In Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7, David wrote, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. I chose to speak on these verses because the instructions given are very plain. In God's word, he instructs us to trust him, delight in him, be still and wait patiently for him. As I meditated on the scripture, I had to ask myself, have I been delighting in the Lord, committing everything I do to him, truly trusting him, being still in his presence? Maybe sometimes, but not always, and definitely not completely. This is my son, Levi. I don't know if you guys have that picture. Yeah, there he is. For those of you who don't know, Levi was a twin. His twin Lyle's heart stopped beating at 17 weeks in my womb last year on July the 18th. At the time, my husband Dwight and I were living in New York City, completely away from anyone and everything we knew. But it was an adventure at the time. After Lyle went to be with Jesus, it was as if our whole world had turned around. From one moment to the next, our traveling adventure almost turned into a nightmare. I moved back home to be closer to church and to family. While Dwight still worked in New York, he would come back every other weekend, sometimes staying 1 to 2 days at a time, then he would go back. At the time, that grieving process was one like I'd never had before. See, I felt guilty because I was grieving the loss of a baby when I had a healthy baby as well. It was just a time that I can never explain. I could go from laughing to crying in an instant, and I felt like I was on an emotional roller coaster. I tell you this because I truly believe that there are some battles that many of us experience alone that we weren't meant to. See, we are called to cast our cares on God. We're called to lean into him. We're called to draw our strength from him and him alone. I noticed that he worked through many people during this season to provide his comfort. For me, that was my mama and my sister that spent the days and nights with me and loved me unconditionally. At that time, my prayers were mighty and strong. I honestly believed and had the faith that God could resurrect Lyle and had the faith for that because he did it with Lazarus. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just being honest and raw and real with you guys. As months with ultrasounds of our alive and miscarried baby on the screen passed, I started leaning into God like I never had before. I'd always known in my mind that God was good, especially in the good seasons. But in my heart, I didn't really know that God was good in the valleys. See, everyone kept saying, everything is going to be fine. I felt like I lost my hope because I was unsure if everything was going to be fine. I realized my prayers weren't quite aligned with God's. See, I hadn't lost my hope, but I only realized that everything according to my standards wasn't going to be fine. You see, my standards included instant gratification, no hardship, and no pain. If I've learned anything these last months, it's that the easy and comfortable seasons aren't the best. It's the uncomfortable and difficult seasons in our lives that allow us to grow. And if we are listening, we often notice and feel his presence the most. See, God never called us to live easy lives. He calls us to deny ourselves. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't mourn in the difficult seasons, but it does mean that our prayers and praise to God should not cease. We cling to Christ most in the valleys of pain, not on the mountaintops. It's the impossible situations that bring us to our knees and allow us to realize that our lives are not our own. As I say this, I can honestly tell you that I would not have chosen this season in our lives. But I will tell you that through this season, I have sought the healer, the miracle giver, and the almighty God that no matter how we are feeling or whatever situation we are in, he is good. Part of our human nature is to go by what we see and what we feel. But God, he instructs us to trust in him. He asks us to go walk by faith and not by sight. I know that knowledge is power, but even more powerful than my knowledge and understanding is our God. And I believe that with my whole heart today. On December the 29th, 2017, we delivered little man, and we received so much healing from the loss of his brother. We were able to hold both of our boys and have closure. The day before we were being discharged, Levi's nurse noted that he was taking longer for his blood to clot and had more bruising than normal. After being assessed further, they found that he had thrombocytopenia. That's a fancy word for he had low platelets. Platelets are the cells in your blood that help you your blood clot whenever you get an injury or you get a cut. After talking to the pediatric hematologist, they said that this would be a simple fix with a transfusion. Today, Levi is 3 months old, and he still receives transfusions weekly, if not biweekly. He has a PICC line in his foot. He has multiple doctor's appointments every week. None of his doctors have ever seen a case like this, and these are doctors that have been practicing for multiple years. We are literally sitting in a season of unknown. At this point, the doctors are just drawing extensive labs and tests to simply rule out obscure diseases and syndromes. Even through the suffering, the pain and hurts that comes with seeing my defenseless baby suffer, I still look down at him daily and think, you are worth every bit of this. I know that our Creator is looking down at us and saying, you were worth every bit of suffering when I gave my only son for the forgiveness of your sins. When we pray to our God, we have the opportunity to praise the King of Kings. He's not good because he gives us all we ask for, but he is good because he is constant. He knows what is best for us and loves us unconditionally. He seeks our hearts, our time, our lives. I've heard people pray, God, let me decrease so you can increase. But I tell you guys, we should be praying, God, let there be nothing of me so all that is left is you. When we pray and come to him surrendered with no agenda, but simply just to talk and be with him, I know that he takes delight in us. See, prayer has nothing to do with receiving all of the things on our list, but has everything to do with surrendering our will, wants, dreams, and life to Jesus Christ. It's aligning our hearts with God's. It's praising and thanking our perfect God who is good no matter what our circumstances are. I'm constantly reminded that God's beautiful plan is much bigger than mine. A perfect example of this is on our third day when we were still in the NICU, Levi was getting his transfusion, and my husband Dwight received a phone call from the HR department stating that he had lost his whole department and him had lost their jobs. And starting the next day, he didn't have a job. So I was on maternity leave. My husband didn't have a job, and my son's in the NICU. It just wasn't a good time. But at that time, I can't think of a moment where Dwight and I literally have been more hopeless and discouraged. We both just sat in the NICU looking at our baby, and we cried. We cried, and then we prayed, and we thanked God that he was our provider and not Dwight's job. See, neither Dwight nor his job, nor me, nor anyone is our provider but him. Today, Dwight now has a job doing the same work he was doing, but he's able to work from home. If you would have told me at that time, it's going to be okay, I would have told you absolutely sure. At that point, I was kind of like, whatever, like, what else can go wrong? But God came through, and he knows he has our best interest in mind. I've learned that God truly, he does have our best interest in mind. If we could only learn to trust and lean on him, our prayer journey would have the ability to grow. See, as fallen humans, we, for the most part, think of ourselves. We think about tomorrow, and we want things that are good for us now, not thinking about the big picture and how it'll affect us later. Many times, we're only scratching the surface of what God has for us. We're praying these what may seem like big prayers, But God is like, my son, my daughter, if you'll only press into me, if you'll only lean into me, you will truly see what lies ahead of you is better. See, when you were crying alone, you weren't alone. I was there with you. I was by your side. And at times, I was holding you. When you lost your baby, your mama, your dad, your husband, your wife, that job you loved, or what felt like everything, I was right there with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My prayers have gone from asking God for healing to simply seeking the healer. With that said, I have the faith for Levi's healing and believe for a miracle, but I'm seeking the miracle giver, not just the miracle. Even though Dwight and I did not see the physical healing of our baby Lyle, and we're still waiting and believing for Levi's healing, we have seen and personally experienced multiple healings. Last year, when we were living in New York City, I was working as a travel nurse on an oncology unit in Connecticut. As a nurse, I'm constantly surrounded by the sick and the broken. I never force my beliefs on my patients, but I definitely do pray for doors to open up, for me to pray for them, and I do so as I'm led by Holy Spirit. The patient that stands out to me the most while on the East Coast was one that I was not even supposed to care for because they were on droplet precautions and I was pregnant. If I'm being completely honest, at first I was thoroughly annoyed and cranky that I was assigned this patient because I did not want to risk getting sick. For whatever reason, I got my emotions in check, which is really hard to do when you're pregnant, for the record. Really hard to do. But I felt this peace about taking care of her, and I remembered that morning I had prayed that I would take care of every single patient that I was supposed to care for. After meeting this patient, I found out that she was Spanish-speaking only, and I was one of the only two people that spoke Spanish on the unit. This particular patient had a diagnosis of bone cancer and had metastasized to multiple organs. She had not slept all night. She was in excruciating pain. She had received all of the IV and oral medication that she could have. She couldn't even move around in her bed. She was young. I asked God to give me his wisdom, and he prompted me to ask her if she wanted me to pray for her. This patient stated she was Catholic and that she would very much appreciate prayer. I immediately thanked God in my heart and prayed a simple prayer, commanding all pain and discomfort to go. I prayed for her to be able to get rest and for her to have God's peace and comfort. It took all of 45 seconds. For those of you that were present 2 weeks ago when Dr. Ivan Philby spoke 2 weeks ago, he encouraged us to speak to the illness, and that's something that Dwight and I do in our practice. When we're praying for somebody, we speak to that illness and we command it to go out, and that's something that we've seen come into fruition. After I was done praying with this patient, she said she just wanted to take a nap. Nothing abnormal there. It was hours later when this patient started waking up and stirring, so I was getting, kind of worried, checking on her every hour. She's still breathing, so that's a good thing. And when she woke up, I have never seen somebody be so changed without any medical intervention as a nurse of practicing 8 years. Her eyes were wide open. She was just kind of shocked. She started bending her back, stooping over. She looked at me and she said, "Jesus healed me." And she came with tears in her eyes and she asked for a hug. She could not stop telling every single person that came into her room how Jesus had healed her. With all of that said, there's nothing special about me. Or, Dwight, when he prays for people, if anyone has seen healing, there's nothing special about us. Like, every single one of us has the ability to be used by God. I am simply just willing and available to be used by him. I wake up in the morning, I say, "God, I am here. Whatever you want me to do, I am available. I have my plans and if I have my schedule, you want me to change it, I'm here, God. That's how I talk to him in the morning. I could have gone to the charge nurse and complained about caring for this patient, but I got my flesh in check and allowed myself to listen to God's prompting. Often, I pray for childlike faith. See, kids, they believe big, and they're constantly dreaming. It's us adults who teach them to come back down to reality or that some things are impossible. I have to remind myself that with God, all things are possible. I have to realize that God did say that he can accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or even think of. His word is true, and we must align our thoughts and our beliefs with him and what his word says. I do want to mention that after seeing God heal someone or do something miraculous, there will always be room for doubt and temptation to think, did they really get healed? Is this real? But that's where our faith steps in. It steps in when we no longer have it all figured out or even understand. I can't explain how I've personally witnessed to multiple people and seen them healed, but still haven't seen Levi be healed. I think about how many times the very disciples who walked side by side with Jesus, they didn't fully or even partially understand the things Jesus did and why he did them. But I trust in him. That's part of our prayer walk with him. And we have to trust in him, be surrendered to him fully. Prayer is something that needs to be constant. It should be done on the mountaintop and in the valley days of our lives. It should be done at the grocery store and Target as much as it's done at the altar and at church. My prayers for Levi have not ceased, but they have evolved. In the midst of the unknown, I choose to stand and pray to my God, not only to give him another petition, but to praise him and pray that I would know him deeper, that I would not only grow in my relationship with him, but I would also further understand that as soon as I get out of the way, God can truly take over. The trials that we experience on this earth are hard and against what our human nature would choose and even want. I've learned that these trials, though, they're opportunities for growth, opportunities to be chiseled at and continue to die to my flesh. See, we have a spirit, soul, and a flesh body. Our flesh desires the easy, the comfortable, and the feel-goods. But it is in the fire, the uncomfortable, and the valleys that we grow. We are forced to lean on him when all we know and understand is stripped away. We should invite God to prune and trim away at our weaknesses and faults. Our prayers should be, God, if there is anything in me that isn't of you, take it away. We need to lay down the burdens that we've been carrying. Prayer is the opportunity to do life with Jesus. Giving God a petition doesn't mean everything will go our way or as we had planned, but it does mean that we have the chance to be used by God, no matter what the result is, if we are willing. Our lives are not our own. During this season of loss and unknown, I have been found. I have been able to connect with people that I would never have been able to connect with if I hadn't miscarried my Lyle last year, or been at the hospital multiple times a week, or have a child that still doesn't have an answer to his illness. I have learned to talk to God at all times. It doesn't have to be anything weird. There's no equation or amount of time that I need to talk to God. There are several times it's a reverent prayer where I can't even speak. And then many other times, I'm just talking to God like I'm talking to you guys today. I tell him everything. I might look like a crazy person driving, talking to myself, but I'm very okay with that. He loves me. He loves you. All he wants is to do life with us. He wants to be with us. Prayer is that communication with him. What trial or situation are you holding on to or not praying about? Is it the loss of a loved one? A difficulty in your marriage? Depression? A difficult work situation? The thoughts of suicide that have crept up over the years? The thoughts that you're not good enough? Or even that you've messed up too much to be used by God? Or is it even the fact that you've been raised in the church your whole life and you're so comfortable and you're good and you're not doing these bad things, but you're comfortable? My prayer for tonight is that everyone hearing the sound of my voice would be pinged by Holy Spirit to go deeper in their prayer walk with God. That the areas that we have not surrendered to Christ would no longer hold us captive. I pray for peace, freedom, and to everyone in here. I pray for freedom of doubt, guilt, shame. I pray deep, intimate prayer life, that we would always be seeking the healer and not the healing, the miracle and not the miracle giver and not just the miracle, but have faith for both. At this time, I do just want to ask everyone to stand and close your eyes. I want to pray for us. Excuse me. I want to invite everyone that's been carrying burdens that God has commanded to surrender to him. Those of you that have been walking comfortably and not allowing God to move in your life. Those of you that have addictions, those of you are living in unforgiveness, those of you who do not have complete freedom in Christ, or those of you that even you talk to God, but do you really talk to God? Do you know in your heart of hearts that God is good no matter what, in the good and the bad? I want to invite any of you to raise your hand right now for a touch of God. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're good, Lord, that you ask us in faith to step out and to trust in you, Lord. I just pray right now healing. I pray wholeness, completeness, boldness over everyone hearing me right now, Father. I just pray that everyone in here would not leave the same, Father, as they came in. I pray that they would have this desire and this hunger to know you deeper, God. That they would seek a deep, intimate relationship with you, Lord. I just pray ultimately that our eyes would be on you, Father. We just praise you for your goodness, Father. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Guys, and also this altar is open. There is something beautiful about stepping out in faith, stepping out of your seat, stepping out of your normal, stepping out of your comfort zone, and saying, God, use me. God, I'm here. I'm available. I just thank you for it, Father. For your love. I pray for more. The things that I said unnamed, Lord. I pray that those that have the doubt about the healing, Lord, that would be gone right now. That you would fill us with your faith, Father. It'd be overflowing to everyone around us. We'd just simply be lovers of you, God. I just pray this in Jesus' strong name.